I'd like to deal with brokenness. If you got your Bibles, would you turn with me into Psalms 34 and 18? Psalms 34 and 18. Brokenness. As you're turning there, brokenness and humility is the only way to God.
Right.
It's the only way we'll get to heaven. It's the only path to glory is
brokenness
and humility. You'll never know the true love of God until you're perfectly broken.
Amen.
I'm going to tell you something. When the dust settles and when the fog of war lifts, love will still be standing. Love conquers all. Love will triumph over everything else.
Man.
Love wins. It's deeper than the ocean. It's higher than the highest star in the galaxy.
Yes.
You never, never can do away with God's love. It's there.
Right.
I'd like to say this, you'll never know the holiness of God. You'll never be like Him until you're broken and you're willing.
Yes.
You've got to be broken and humble before the Lord.
Oh God. Yes.
Brokenness brings salvation. Psalms 34 and 18. The Lord is what?
Nigh
unto them. He's close to them. He's near to them. The Lord is nigh unto them that are of a what?
Broken heart.
A broken heart. I want you to know that it's only in brokenness to where you get to that point you're willing. And that's what God wants, is a willing heart and a willing vessel. The Lord is nigh unto them that are of a broken heart, and saveth such as be of a contrite spirit. James says, God resisteth the proud, but giveth grace to the humble.
Yes.
If He resists the proud, God cannot stand a proudful look.
Right.
Pride goeth before destruction. And an haughty spirit before a fall. Oh God. But He giveth grace to the humble.
Yes.
So I want to deal with brokenness and broken things. Before God can make anything out of a person to use them for His glory, they must be broken.
Amen.
Broken. Not my will, God, anymore, but Yours.
Oh God.
It ain't what I want, God, and what I want to do and where I want to go. But it's You, Lord, and Your will in my life.
Yes.
I've got to do what He wants me to do.
Yes.
I've got to follow Him and obey Him in every little minute detail in my life. Oh God. Before God can make anything out of a person to use them for His glory, they've got to be broken. Listen, before a thing can be useful, something must be broken.
Yes.
As in the natural, soul, and the spiritual. Before a house can be built, and before this church and all the timber in it, and the floor joists, and the walls, and the two befores, and the ceiling, and all the wood that's in this natural temple, this church in Huntington. As in the natural, before the house can be built, a mighty tree that stood so big and strong must be cut down and brought down to the ground.
Yes.
Amen.
Amen.
Oh, Lord. Before the ripe grain can cover the fields, And you look out over the field and you see the wheat and the golden harvest waving its little hands in the wind. Before that ripe grain of the corn of the cornfields is ready to be harvested, the soil must be completely broken up and broken down. The sharp point of the plow must turn up and turn over the hardened rough sod. And the sharp blade of the disc must pulverize the soil to prepare it for the sowing of the seed. Before there can ever be life, there got to be death. Oh, Lord in heaven. If a garden could talk to you, if the fields could talk to you, they said, we're doing just fine. Look at our pretty green grass. Man can't eat grass. He can't eat the weeds. And if that field could talk to you, it says, I felt the plowman come today, and the tractor pulled the great big blades. The sharp blades turned up my soil. What I thought was beautiful, what I thought was just fine, the sun was a shining, the rain was coming down, and the green grass was pretty emerald green. But oh, but the divine plowman has a different intent in store for us. That garden will say, I felt the blade go through me today, and it cut me to pieces. It turned up my soil. I felt the hard, sharp disc go all over me, back and forth, until it pulverized me. But oh, ain't that the process that a plowman has to go through? There'll be no grain, there'll be no corn, and there'll be no beans unless he turns that soil up. It's got to be broken. Come on, raise your little hand and say, dear God, hey, I'll never bear fruit for you, and I'll never go anywhere, Lord, and I'll never feed others unless you pulverize me and turn up that old hard soil of my heart. I'm telling you, I'm afraid people are getting hard. I said, I'm afraid that they're getting hard on God, and we need to be humble. I want you to know it ain't my way and it ain't my will, but it is the Lord's will. And can you say, God, work on me today? Oh, Lord, can I tell you that the plowman can never sow his seed into the furrow of the ground and cover it over. Brother Kevin, you and Stacy know you always had a beautiful garden, but it takes sweat and it takes labor and it takes plowing. I hate you like that today. I'm saying, well, I'll tell you, we're more interested in the carnal things than in our heart. And we're letting our heart get hard. Hey, God, I'm telling you, it's hard for the rain to get down inside of our heart. And the Spirit of God is the latter rain that we need. I tell you, he cannot soak you, and he cannot fill you, and he can't sow his seeds down in your heart until you're broken. I said, until God works on you. Raise your other hand and house and say, God, work on me, Jesus. You'll never know the love of God. You'll never know his love and mercy until that soil is turned up on the inside and heaven shines down inside of your heart. I'm telling you, God knows when to send the sunshine, and he knows when to send the rain. And can I tell you, he'll send it. I said, he'll send the rain of his Spirit when that heart is ready to be prepared. Come on, say, God, I need the water of your Spirit.
Amen.
The Word of God will never do you any good until you're broken.
Right.
The Bible's your roadmap. It's your manna, it's your food, it's your instruction. It is your guide. Come on, come on, come on. I'm a teaching you today. Whew, I feel the Holy Ghost in here. The devil can't stop this.
Right.
He'd like to put a damper over, but he can't do it.
Right.
Hallelujah to God. The divine Holy Ghost. Before this house could ever be built here, the bricks were laid around it. The mighty tree had to fall.
Yes.
It had to be, had the saw to run through it and cut the limbs off of it. Come on, it had to be ground. Holy God, it had to be measured. I'm going to tell you something here today. God will measure us.
Oh, yeah.
We'll never fit in where he wants us to be until he cuts on us and he measures us and puts us in that groove that we need to be in.
Amen.
Woo! And when God does that and he puts things together, they'll stay together.
Right.
Come on. I said, when God builds something, he puts it together. And I'm telling you, the devil cannot pull it apart unless you let him do it.
That's it.
Shoo. Oh, God. Just think of the dear mother, the joy that floods her heart at the sound of the first cry of her newborn baby. It only came, that joy only came through travail and tears of that childbirth. The greatest blessings to mankind had come through pain.
Right.
That mother will say, I went to death's door to have you. I went right to the verge of death to have you. Can I tell you, Jesus went to the cross and he did go to death. And he died for every one of us.
Oh.
But all the joy on that day when we see him in the clouds of glory. He'll know it was not in vain. How many are looking for the Lord to come? Oh, God.
Come on, Brother Tom.
Listen, we will never do anything great for God. We'll never be able to please him and bring him glory. Nor can we successfully work for him and do his perfect will until we're broken. The greatest thing standing in God's way is our pride and our self-will. Oh, to be broken is them to be willing. You will never be willing until you're completely broken. Brokenness will bring salvation.
Yes.
Ain't you glad that the Spirit of God and his convicting power has a way of breaking our stubborn self-will and getting us to see our need for God? I never really knew I needed Jesus until my world came a crashing in. Oh, I thank God that he allowed me to come to the end of myself. He let my earthly dreams of making it big in life vanish from my view. My worldly ambitions and my hopes were dashed in pieces. Stay with me. I wrote this. I wanted to make it big in basketball, and I wanted to make it big in sports when I was in high school. It was my heart's whole desire. I was the fastest runner, Brother Kevin, in high school. We get out in front of Buffalo High School and get up there, one end of that sidewalk, and run to the other end of it, to the end of that high school. I was the fastest runner. I could outrun anybody in that house, in that high school. But look at me now. Everybody could outrun me now in the natural. But I want you to know I'm in a spiritual race to make heaven my home. Hallelujah. I'm a runner for a different call, Sister Alicia and Sister Joe. God put something in me a long time ago, but he had to get my attention, Brother Kevin. Hallelujah. God meant more to me than sports.
Yes. Come on.
You're right.
Come on.
Something happened. Listen, God's got a will for every one of us in this building.
Right.
And he's got deeper places for you.
Right.
Deeper realms for you. God sees the place he's trying to get us, and he wants us to. But he has to work on us. There's things in our life we've got to see and realize, God, you have to be number one. I can't go my way. I can't do my own thing. I cannot leave you out. Listen what happened with Tommy Romans. I don't think I've ever told anybody in this church. If I had, it was many years ago. Something happened to me. Sports was in my eyes. Whew. I knocked my knee out of the joint playing football. Severely injuring the ligaments while in a game, and I had to have surgery. The quarterback told me to run, Tommy, run. When I get that ball in my hand, you take off and you run. He said, whenever you get out there so far, pivot and turn to the right. He said, I'll have the ball right in your hand. I'm going places. I thought, whew, I'm going to make it good in sports. My name will be up there in the headlines. Oh, Lord, I love the game. I went out, they pitched that ball back to the quarterback. And I went out running as hard as I could, and I did not know that my left foot, when I went to pivot, it went down in a sunken place in the ground, a little recess. Carson, when I made that ride, my whole body turned, but from here down, stayed that direction. It pulled this kneecap over here. It tore the muscle, the ligaments, and the tendons. Oh, God. I about pulled my hair out before they could get me to the hospital. Oh, I never felt such pain. I tell you, God's got a way of getting our attention. Lord, if that's what it takes, come on, I would never have a microphone, Sister Marie, in my hand today. Oh, Lord, God had a better, higher calling for me. He knew that one day he looked out in the future. And Brother Shuffy, he saw me. He knew I would be a Sunday school teacher. And he knew that I would be a preacher of the gospel. And I would be able to play music and to sing. But to get me there, God had to get me in my self-will to say, son, it's not your way anymore. You're going to have to come my way. Let me work on you. Raise your little hand and say, God's got better things. I said, God's got better things for you.
Yes, yes, ma'am. Oh, yes, Lord.
Mom. You ever cry because you didn't get your way? It was so bad afterwards. And to this very day, as I stand right here behind this podium, I've lost one whole big inch or more in my muscle. When I sat in a chair and my knees up here like this right here, there's 1 inch difference in this leg than this big one over here. I lost it. Listen to me, I'm going somewhere. I tried so hard to rebuild that muscle. I put weights on it. Still ain't broken. Tommy, you mean you still tried it? Yeah, I love basketball. I got in basketball, scored as much as I scored, was 18 points in a game. I thought I was really doing something. And I would sit, listen. I'd sit. I'm still going to play sports. Yes, I am. Man, my buddies miss me, and I'm getting back on there. I'm getting this knee healed, buddy, and I'm going to get back in there, buddy, and I'm going to just play with them. I get right there and scoot way back and tie weights around this ankle right here. Whoa. I've had to go and make a syringe this big around, I'm telling you, and the syringe is about that long, and the needle's probably about this long. And I've had them to push a needle back in this side right here and squeeze it like that, the nurse would, and the doctor just draw off the blood and the pus off of that knee. Go in this side right here. Still work on them weights. Ain't you broken yet, Tommy? I guess not. I'm going to tell you, when Jesus appeared to Saul of Tarsus on the road to Damascus, he thought he was doing the Lord's will. Oh, I'm fine. I'm fine. I'm fine. Jesus appeared to him. Sobriety, it blinded him. He fell to the earth off on his beast. The very first thing he said, oh, Lord, what would you have me to do? For 3 days and three nights, this man was completely blind in total pitch darkness.
What will God have to do to get us to look up to him? My goodness, you know what Jesus said to him? Said, Paul, Saul, it's hard for thee to kick against the pricks. How many knows what sawbriars are? Me and Dad used to rabbit hunt, and Dad said, there's got to be a rabbit over in there. He said, it's your turn to go through all those briars and that brush and scare me out of rabbits. I go through there right there and get in them saw briars, and if I went this way, man, he's eating to me. Like it's right here, and I tried to back out and pull my leg out, and them saw briars, them things, they're turned every direction. I get in them things, and they get right in my skin. You ever be in a place that you're caught? God catches you. God catches you. He arrests you. He gets you to see, this ain't working. It just ain't working. Oh, God, have mercy, Lord. It's hard. Oh, Lord, what am I going to do? Paul said, what wouldst thou have me to do? Lift your little hand right to him right now. Oh, Jesus, Jesus, Jesus. Listen, whenever you get to a place, you can't go no farther, and you know what God's will is for your life. You felt it. You have felt God's Spirit dealing with you. Everybody in this house, you have felt God dealing with you. He's been speaking to you. Don't kick against that. Come on. Go God's way. Go God's way.
Yes.
Holy Lord, Holy Lord. I feel teaching in this church here today. Holy Lord. Oh God. I remember so well Carson and Kipton coming back home from playing in the games, from running so hard on the ball court. Play a basketball that my knee would swell and hurt with a lot of pain. One particular time, I remember making it to the front porch, the step of the front porch. I remember that vividly. At my home, and I sat down in pain, and I removed that leg brace. I had to wear a brace when I played. I wouldn't go in the house. I didn't want Mom seeing me. I'm sitting out there in pity party. I can't get my way. It's bad for a grown man, 18 years. I graduated when I was 19. Shame on me. I failed the fifth grade. But I didn't want Mom seeing me. I'm tough. I can still do it. I can still go. I can still play. I sat down on that step and I cried. Why can't I be like others? Why can't I play? Look at me. Here I sat with a bum knee. This actually happened. Every little word that I'm giving you. I said to myself, I'm no good. I'm a failure. The others are having a good time that they're going to greater things, and here I am, I'm left out. I had to turn in my uniform and tell the coach, Coach Thornburg, I can't play anymore. It totally broke my heart. Can I tell you, I didn't know it then, but looking back, God had something far better for me. Hallelujah. Bless his holy name.
Yes.
Get my attention, Jesus. He didn't want my name in the world's lights. He didn't want me to make a career in sports and forget him, but to preach and teach his word and to sing his praises. Remember, the path to God is the path of brokenness and tears.
Amen.
None of us would be here today if it had not been for Jesus praying in the Garden of Gethsemane. Listen. He prayed three times. He told the disciples, he said, watch with me. Pray and watch with me here. The disciples went heavily to sleep, and Jesus went about a stone's throw from them, and he knelt down on his knees. He said, Father, let this cup pass, this cup of suffering pass from me. Nevertheless, not my will, but thine be done. He came to his disciples under asleep.
He goes back to that place again and he falls down and he prays the same prayer the second time. He comes back, they're asleep. He said, sleep on now, take your sleep, take your rest. And he went the third time. Listen, I want to tell you something. To fully serve God, y'all listening, it's going to cost everybody. It's going to cost us, every one of us.
Yes.
It's going to cost us sacrifice.
Right.
It's going to cost us pain.
Right.
And Sister Alicia, the precious Son of God, God's only Son, knelt on that ground beneath the olive trees, and he prayed so hard the third time that his sweat became as great drops of blood falling to the ground. He said, Father, nevertheless, not my will, but thy will be done.
Yes.
How many is glad Jesus paid a price and went to the cross?
Yes. Amen.
Yeah.
That's the reason we're here. That's the reason we got a church. That's the reason we sing, we worship, we praise. That's the reason Brother Jason gets up here and preaches the word of God and gives us the bread.
Yes.
It's because of all that Jesus has done.
Amen.
Oh, God. Friends, you got to call upon God. You'll never succeed at anything or ever be happy until you fully give your all to God.
Right.
God's going to get your attention. My life lay in a pile of ashes, and when I hit bottom, that's when I looked up to the one who loved me. I knew then that I could not make it without God. I called upon the Lord to save me. And I'm so glad today that I can say that godly sorrow worketh repentance unto salvation. God's love and conviction got a hold of my heart, and I was then willing to serve him. I gave him all the pieces of my life that sin had broken, and God made something out of the brokenness. Oh, God, oh, God. Brokenness is the path to God. Brokenness is the route to his holiness and his righteousness and his likeness. Listen. Brokenness and humility is the only way we can enter heaven. Unless you be converted. Listen. Unless you be converted and become as little children, you shall in no wise enter into the kingdom of heaven. I was thinking of the little kids that you bring, Sister Alicia. Wrap your arms around them. There's nothing any more precious than a little child.
Right.
If a little child can't touch your heart, you're heartless. You're heartless.
Right.
Oh, God. Listen. Broken Things describes our journey from the time we're born until we go to the grave. How many knows that?
Amen.
All along life's path, we will find broken things that we once thought were our hopes and our dreams important.
Yes.
But the dreams of earthly happiness we sought to build without God came to nothing. Oh, that precious souls would look to the Lord for that eternal joy that he can give.
Yes.
Listen, if you feel like you're in the briars right now, and you're in the pricks, if you are experiencing a breaking right now, y'all with me? It's because he sees you worthy to make something good out of you. Amen. The sacrifices that God accepts are always broken sacrifices. A contrite and willing heart that will say, Lord, I am nothing, but here I am. Mold me and make me and use me for your glory. If you've noticed, and you keep up with the news at all, and if you see the headlines of our news today, you see our world is being broken.
Yeah.
It ain't worth it. Yeah. It ain't worth it to forget God. It ain't worth it to leave him out of your life.
Why?
Listen, we are living in a broken world today as never before. I see the breaking of our society.
Yes.
Its ideals and programs, our governments and its leaders, I see brokenness. The American dream that people used to work so hard for and look forward to is being taken away. I see all around me broken homes. broken hearts, broken vows, broken lives, broken marriages, broken health and wealth. Don't you think it's time for the hearts of men and women, boys and girls, to repent?
Yes.
Huh? Don't you think it's time to seek what really matters? Thank you, Lord. Can you raise your little hand and say, Jesus, you are the only thing that really matters to me. You're the only route to heaven. You're the only true joy that a man or a woman could ever have. Hallelujah to God. Sometimes God allows disappointments. He allows failures because he loves us. He's trying to get people's attention to call upon him and turn from their wicked ways. It's so sad to see people who have lived their whole life in sin. Year after year, they travel, they go, making their way to the broken sod called the grave. How many still with me here today?
Yes.
It is sad, but when they come to the end, they look back with regret on the broken things of no true profit. There was no true profit. They missed God's perfect will for their life. They never allowed their hearts to be broken for Jesus. Oh, if only they had turned to God. The only time you're closest to God is when you're broken. Let me read it one more time. The only time that you're really, really close to God is when you're humble and you're broken. Holy, 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 holy. No words to our Heavenly Father for him to hear than to hear the words from us. Lord, I need you and I want you.
Yes.
I'm depending upon you and I can't make it on my own. How many can say that today? I cannot make it.
Yes.
I can't make it on my own. I need God to lead me, guide me, keep me, hide me, feed me. Hallelujah, Lord.
Amen.
How many's ever been in the woods or been maybe at River Park or maybe Central Park in Ashland? You're walking around. You're under the big old oak trees. How many's ever looked down in the fall time and see those beautiful little acorns? Ain't they pretty?
Yeah.
Yellow, brown, red, and their little hulls. Beautiful. They're wearing a cap. And little fellas look up at you, he's like, pick me up. Little acorn, look how beautiful we are. We once hung on them limbs up there. Now we've come down to you. What are you going to do with us? Pick me up and look at my little hat. I love to ride. My mind goes, listen. I want you all now to look at that giant big oak tree. Where do you think it started out at? Huh? It started out in a grave.
What?
The great wind blew hard against that mighty oak tree. And one day it shook the branches so hard. God's wind shook the branches so hard. A little acorn could not hold on any longer, and it fell from its lofty heights. From the limb of the mighty tree, it came tumbling and rolling down to the ground. And there it was buried by autumn's decaying leaves. It was hid from sight. Looks like it's the end of that acorn. Hang with me. It looks like it's gone forever. It looked hopeless. No one ever saw it in its darkened grave, covered up now by the leaves, decaying leaves on the soil. But there, the acorn died. Its shell was broken. From the water that soaked the ground, and within its little heart, inside that shell, it began to sprout new life. Up, up, up from the ground, it pushed, it pushed, it pushed its way to the surface. It came and it reached for the sky. It grew till it became a mighty oak tree. And there it stood with its roots anchored in the soil's dark grave. In that place of death, it has found life. Just think, 1,000 forests is in one little acorn.
You think you all could carry count all the acorns hanging on one big oak tree? No, but God knows exactly how many acorns are hanging on an oak tree. A forest that is filled, Carson, filled, Kipton, with oak trees and all the acorns. God put it inside of that acorn.
Yeah.
God put life on the inside of it, but no life could ever come unless the wind. Come on, the wind would blow mightily.
Right.
Until it shook the limbs and off comes the acorns down to the ground. I'm going to tell you something. The best place that we can ever be is on our knees. Raise your hand and say, God, help us. Help us, Lord, help us. When we bury our face to the ground and say, God, I need you. I want that life that you got. I want new life. Oh, God. So the next time you pass beneath an oak tree in autumn, just reach down and pick up one of them little acorns and hold it up to your ear. This is what you can imagine to hear. You might think that I'm hopeless and useless, but just wait. One day the birds will build nests in me. Wildlife will rest under my shade, and one day I will bring warmth to a home in the wintertime when the loggers cut me down. My boards will be put in a church and in a home, and I will be the warmth and a fire to keep people warm in the wintertime. Listen. I will be shelter from the storm for those seeking refuge. And one of these days, I will be the strong ribs of a mighty vessel on the raging sea. The tempest will beat against me in vain while I carry men across the sea. Oh, little acorn, can you do all of that? You better believe I can. God has put it in me. From weakness to strength, from death to life.
Yes.
God has made something out of me. Hallelujah. They want to come to the piano. Oh, Jesus. Let's all stand in this house here today. Brokenness is the path to God. Brokenness. Humility brings us close to God's heart.
Yeah.
That's when we see His glory and realize, listen, you'll never know the fullness of God's love. Never know it until you're perfectly broken, until the tears are in the eyes and there's a cry down in your heart. Let's find a place to pray here today. Ask God to help us. Everybody in this house, come on. I gave you the word here today. God changed this message. He changed it for a purpose. Work on me, Jesus. Make me what I ought to be. If you have to plow me, plow. Run the blade deep down in my heart. To where I cry out, God, let my will not be done. Sow your seed in my heart. Condition my heart, God. Put the word inside of me. Hallelujah. The call of God. Come on, children, pray to me.
And I'm ready to go for Jesus.
mold me. Hallelujah.